All right, this is North Dakota Public Service Commission a hearing in the matter of Inexco Development Corporation, case number PU-08-932, resuming. We'll begin with public testimony. Mr. Moe, please. Mr. Moe, as you know, your testimony is required to be under oath, and I'm required by law to advise you regarding perjury before administering the oath. Perjury is a false statement of material fact which you do not believe to be true. In North Dakota, perjury is a Class C felony, punishable by a fine up to $5,000, imprisonment for a period of up to 5 years or both. Will you raise your right hand, please? Being advised regarding perjury, Mr. Moe, do you swear that the testimony which you're about to give in this matter shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Mr. Moe, please state your name for the record.
John Moe.
What is your residence address?
8770 62nd Avenue Southeast, Fredonia, 58440.
Is your post office address the same as your residence address?
Yes, yes.
Mr. Moe, I understand that you have exhibits, documents, which you wish to offer as exhibits for the commission to consider. I'm handing you what has been marked for identification as Exhibit Moe 1. That's the photocopy council entitled Birds Ground XL Windmill. Mr. Moe, will you tell the commission what that exhibit is, please, and where you obtained it?
This is a copy from the Star and Tribune. It was after they canceled the wind project. XL backed out, and it's just an article out of the Minneapolis Star and Tribune.
You know the date of the paper?
It was the next day after it happened.
All right.
I don't know the date.
All right. And you wish to offer this exhibit in evidence?
Yes.
Mr. Swanson.
I won't interpose an objection, Judge, although obviously a newspaper article can't necessarily stand for the truth of what it reports, and we don't have the reporter here to cross-examine, but as illustrative of the publicity around this project, we have no objection.
Mr. Armstrong.
I would just echo the same comments, so no objection.
Exhibit Mole 1 is received. Next, Mr. Moe, I hand you what has been marked for identification as Exhibit Moe 2, and I will ask you to tell the commission, please, what that exhibit is.
American Bird Conservatory. It's about the wind towers and the different effects it does to wildlife and everything, the bird kill and things like that. And I worked with the people from Prairie Wetlands Learning Center in Fergus Falls.
And they directed you to this information?
They're a learning center for kids, and they bring, when I was there, they had 50 young people in there. They have 1,000 acres there in Fergus Falls, where it's a Prairie Learning Center.
Okay. Council, this is a document entitled American Bird Conservancy's Policy Statement and Bird Smart Wind Guidelines. You wish to offer this as an exhibit for the commission's consideration, Mr. Moe?
Yes.
Mr. Swanson?
Again, judges, as illustrative of one organization's views, we have no objection.
Mr. Armstrong?
No objection.
Exhibit Moe 2 is received.
That's it.
Exhibit Mr. Moe is marked for identification as Moe 3. Council, this is the document entitled Birds and Wind Farms, American Bird Conservancy. Would
yes.
you tell the commission, Mr. Moe, what that exhibit is, what it shows?
It's basically just an addition to the other. information.
And this was obtained from the same source as the
yes.
previous exhibit?
Yes. Some of that was came off the internet, too. I think this one did.
All right. Mr. Swanson, and you wish to offer this
yes.
as an exhibit for the commission's consideration. Mr. Swanson.
As with exhibit two, judges, illustrative of this organization's views, no objection.
Mr. Armstrong.
I have no objection.
Exhibit MOVE 3 is received. Mr. Moe, you may proceed with anything additional you wish to say to the commission.
Well, the first thing I want to say is I'm not against the wind towers. I'm just against where they want to put the wind towers. You know, the crane, the whooping crane, and I really never paid that much attention to those big birds, but over the last 3-4 years, and I don't think they stay here, I think they just kind of migrate through here, but I've seen 5 of them. I've seen a pair right behind my barn in the cornfield next to the slough there. They were here today, gone tomorrow, and I've seen 3 over by the Highway 56 over there, not too far from my place. The other thing, if you've ever flew over this area here from the Whitestone Battlefield to Wishick, if you fly over that area, it's all water. I mean, you get down in the low areas or you go west of Wishick, we don't have as much water. And even down in the Oaks area, a lot of that you see, well, we've got so much water now, but usually that evaporates. We don't have. So the major part of the flyway, like the diver, the scop or a bluebill, they migrate right through our area because most of our ponds, they don't dry up, and they have. But yesterday afternoon, I was with a friend of mine, and he was catching minnows. He's a fisherman. And the freshwater shrimp, that's what the scop live on, and they're in trouble anyways. If you go and it's a quiet night here and you look out in these ponds, black and white, those are their diver ducks. So that's what they eat. And they need that because they go way up into Alaska and Canada. There's a few nests here. But the problem is if they don't have enough energy and they don't have enough food, well, they're losing what they hatch. You know, instead of maybe have 10 eggs, they probably have 5. But it's kind of like us. I mean, when we're going down the freeway, you're hungry, and you see a sign that's cafe, and I don't know how these birds do it, but it's the same when they go to the grocery store. Well, they got to stop and refuel themselves. They've been flying I've been in Honduras and Mexico, and they're down there. They come up here, but they have to stop, and I noticed that this spring, I mean, thousands of them. Well, they're going to, and I don't think they have radar. You know, there's a blinking light on those things. I mean, how many are going to fly into the wind towers? I don't know, but I'm sure there's a lot. And then all the shorebirds we have here, why don't they take and put the wind farm down on like the corridor, Highway 29, down by Wahpeton? Everything's dead down there anyways. I mean, it's major farm country. Couldn't they put the wind towers in the tree rows there? That's just my suggestion. I think that's about it.
Mr. Swanson, any questions for Mr. Mohn?
No questions, Judge.
Mr. Armstrong?
No, Judge.
Mr. Lean?
No questions.
Any questions from the commission? Commissioner Clark?
No questions, but thank you for being here again, Jim.
Thank you.
Mr. Kramer.
Just thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Moe. Mr. Schnering? Mr. Schnering, as you know, your testimony is required to be under oath, and I'm required by law to advise you regarding perjury before administering the oath. Perjury is a false statement of material fact which you do not believe to be true. In North Dakota, perjury is a Class C felony, punishable by a fine up to $5,000, imprisonment for a period of up to 5 years or both. Will you raise your right hand, please, Being advised regarding perjury, Mr. Schnering, do you swear that the testimony which you're about to give in this matter shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Please state your name for the record.
Donald C. Schnering.
What is your residence address, Mr. Schnering?
207 South McIntosh Street in Lair, North Dakota.
Is your residence address the same as your post office address?
It is not.
And what is your post office address?
P.O. Box 85.
Mr. Schnering, do you appear on behalf of any other organization, entity, or group?
Partially. I am the mayor of Lair, and for the economic benefits of Lair, I appear for them. I am also appearing for myself from my past work experience and knowledge I've gained over the years and my opinion only.
All right, you may proceed.
Thank you. Now, I used to work for Alliant Energy in Wisconsin for 32 years and retired in 2006. I know of Northern States Power, and I have not worked for them, nor do I represent them in any way whatsoever. I've also been a member of Nature Conservancy for many years and worked on biological projects as a volunteer. I'm concerned about the environment. I'm a hunter and fisherman. And I respect Mr. Moe's concern about the ducks and all the different things that could hit the wind turbine blades. And reading through this mail out I got as mayor, it says, while there have been no confirmed fatalities at wind farm sites, piping plovers have been documented colliding with human-made structures such as transmission lines. Now that really makes me scratch my head. With all of this testimony that I have heard is related to the blades taken out, endangered species, and not one documented endangered species has been killed in North Dakota that I can see here. And if there has, it's been very, very few. But transmission lines are everywhere. It seems I'm all for U.S. Fish and Wildlife, but I'm also for wind farms. I used to work in a very large coal-fired power plant. It was two 500-megawatt units burning all Western coal, and I did the environmental testing with continuous emissions monitoring, and I'm very aware of how much CO2 was put in, sulfur dioxide, and nitrous oxides, and mercury, you name it. It's not the best way to make power. And what I'm seeing now from Fish and Wildlife, which I adore them, I really adore them, but they are making such a stink about this, pardon my French, that even if somebody sees one of these piping plovers, you've got to shut the wind farm down. That is totally ridiculous in my opinion. Partially because maybe these birds are smart enough to notice the rotating blades, either through vibration or vision or both, to not hit them, not go by them. Same thing with the ducks. Certainly, it could happen. We've got a wind farm at Cullum. Now, if Fish and Wildlife knows of a whole bunch of dead birds from bird hits or bats. I've seen one bat since I've lived here. That's in Lair, and I've lived here about 4.5 years. One. I mean, there's not a lot of bats here. It just seems like you're trying to choke the life out of wind power, and not for a good enough reason. Because if you're so worried about rotating blades that don't kill piping plovers or whooping cranes, why aren't we burying all our transmission lines, which are proven to kill them? Well, Let's all try to get real here. It just doesn't make any sense to me to take this line with no evidence of death. And it just doesn't make any sense. But transmission lines, well, they're okay. Well, the same person saying that transmission lines and wind farms are bad for power, you're making a statement. Wind power, for one, is not the way to go. Because if you're going to curtail their power production because somebody's seen a piping plover, they get it, shut it off for a week or two in case he comes back. You're saying, well, power company, I want you to build something else. Well, right now, the only something else's that are available is not hydro. That's all that's already developed. You're saying, instead of wind, let's go with a big old coal plant. Or, even better, a nuclear plant. No emissions, except for when something really goes wrong, like we've seen in Japan, that it just goes to show you that nuclear is probably going to be on the way out because of all the engineering involved. They had a 30-foot seawall, and guess what? Murphy's Law comes in play. They had a 40-foot wave. Well, their generator engines were all on the main floor, and they got wet. They got soaked. So therefore, they didn't run. So all the best engineering in the world wasn't good enough for nuke. So we're really coming right back to a big old coal plant. Now, what is Fish and Wildlife's idea of putting a big old coal plant around here somewhere? Anywhere. Now, that has an environmental impact far, far greater than the possibility of hitting a bird with a wind blade. Because that's all we're talking about here, is possibility. You don't have any death facts, not a one. Well, so where are we really here? I like Fish and Wildlife, but what they're doing here is trying to kill wind through all the details, except for death of birds. Well, that just doesn't make any sense to anybody who has an open mind. Now, they've already decided that these wind towers are going to kill our birds, just like the ducks and everything else. But they haven't. Doesn't that tell you something? This rotation, the vibration, the noise, whatever it is, they're avoiding them. Doesn't make a bit of sense to me. I think with that, I've said enough, except for the economic part here, I guess. With the small towns in this area, there's going to be a lot of house rentals for the workers building these towers, which will help the restaurants and bars and gas stations, obviously. Also adding, I see here, was it 10 to 12 jobs, permanent jobs? Well, that's part of what's wrong with small town North Dakota or small town anywhere in the West. Getting some more jobs and having people with more money to spend in the stores that are getting something from having a tower on their property, that's all positive things in an area where our towns are going from a peak in 1930 a population down. It's just drawing a very sharp curve down on the population curve because of the lack of jobs and the lack of new money coming in here. Anywhere would benefit economically from these towers. And I still haven't seen anything from Fish and Wildlife that says it killed anything. I'm sure they do. It's possible. I've heard in California they killed some birds, but with strong winds and whatever, birds can't seem to navigate perfectly, and that's probably why they're hitting the transmission lines to begin with. I guess that's all I got.
Mr. Swanson.
No questions, Judge.
Mr. Armstrong.
No questions.
Mr. Lean.
No questions.
Questions from the commission. Commissioner Clark.
No questions, but thank you for being here.
Commissioner Chris.
Just thank you.
Thank you, very much, Mr. Sheridan. Is there anybody else who wishes to address the commission? Anyone else? If not, Mr. Swanson, any closing statement?
Just thank you again, folks, for coming out. We appreciate it. Appreciate your interest in the project, and we very much look forward to bringing this project to fruition here.
Mr. Armstrong.
Nothing further, Your Honor.
Closing comments by the commission. Commissioner Clark.
Just echo everyone else's comments. Thanks for being here and for your patience and having this hearing fully completed. It's always interesting. You learn a little bit more about wind farms and different challenges with each one that we cite. And so we'll be able to take this all into consideration now as we move through the environmental permitting of this particular project. And then I'd finally just like to thank hospitality of the Ashley community and whoever set up the coffee and cookies. I mean, this was good, because usually when we come to these hearing rooms, I've noticed that they put the coffee and cookies about as far from the commissioners as they possibly can. So during the course of a hearing, if we're going to refill, we sort of have to make our way through the crowd. And today it was right up here behind us, so this was wonderful. I could sneak over and grab a cup now and then. Again, thank you for being here. Thanks for the hospitality, and look forward to having an opportunity to take this up amongst the commission. We won't be making a decision, obviously, today, but we'll have a work session within a few weeks and have a chance to discuss it amongst ourselves.
Commissioner Kramer.
Well, just to add my expression of gratitude as well to everybody involved, certainly the community. Thank you for helping us conclude before noon, because I saw the buffet being set up in the cafe, so that looks wonderful. Also, again, just thank you to the company and the other stakeholders involved for your patience and helping us maneuver these somewhat sensitive legal requirements while we, on the one hand, want to accommodate development. We also are nothing if not transparent, as you've noticed. And it's a characteristic of our state that I'm quite proud of, and of our government. So we appreciate all of that, appreciate your input. And like Tony said, we won't be making a decision today, but I would suspect that it wouldn't be terribly long from now, since we've had a lot of evidence for a long time. And so I suspect that if we can get a proposed order, it wouldn't be too terribly long before we're able to take some action, at least. So thank you.
Thank you very much, commissioners, and thank you all very much, Ashley. With that, the North Dakota Public Service Commission hearing in the matter of Inexco Development Corporation, case number PU-08-932, is closed.